Mixed action and volatility through the market trade into the weekend. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen with this market update. Sean Hackett with Hackett Financial Advisors joins us for our market wrap-up. And Sean, more volatility again Friday. Obviously, the headlines out of the Middle East and more at play here. Talk about just the general feeling, it seems, that maybe we're taking a little bit of risk off ahead of the weekend with the unknowns with what could happen coming out of the Middle East here, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're in a very unstable situation. Nothing has been resolved. Lots of talk, but doesn't seem to be a lot of clear conclusions. And what I think has now happened is that we now have everyone concerned about security of supply than the price of supply. What I mean by that is that people are worried about how much energy is it going to be coming out of the Strait of Hormuz, how much fertilizer is going to be coming out of the Strait of Hormuz, how much wheat is going to come out of the Strait of Hormuz. The reality is we don't really know. And so when you don't know about some of these critical supplies that you are a major importer of, whether you're China and such, you move into a survival mode and you move into what I'd call the hoarding strategy, which is you look to buy what you can get your hands on and stockpile and add more coverage. And I don't believe that even if things ease here a little bit, that mentality is going to go away. I think we're going to be in that mentality for quite a while before I think those that are in the need feel more comfortable with their position. And that really changes the entire market structure that we've been in, which is oversupply, hand-to-mouth buying. In my opinion, you know, that game is over.
Let's talk about what some of this shifting dynamic, some of that hoarding mentality, what could this mean as we get into the heart of spring planting season, Sean? I mean, you know, the switch in acreage potentially, if we could see some of that, or has a lot of that been locked in? I mean, what's the bigger picture trend that you're seeing here right now, Sean?
The bigger picture trend is every country that has core acres that produce the highest yielding crops, they're going to go on the ground, even if it's corn or rice that, you know, or cotton that have very, very high fertilizer usage per acre. But if you're on the fringe, if you don't have those core acres that are really always giving you the big yields, and you're going to either not plant those acres, I'm expecting to see those, a lot of those acres not get planted. And if you do, you're going to pull back some of that fertilizer usage, try to save some money. Even the core acres, I think, can pull back on some of that fertilizer. Now, if you have good weather, you could still have a good crop, but in areas in the world where the weather is not good or not perfect, lack of fertilizer usage and bad weather can mean a disproportionate decline in yields. That's going to be the worry. That's going to be the trends going forward. And it favors things like canola and soybeans, and it's unfavorable for markets like cotton, like corn, or like rice.
You brought up weather. We should touch on that as we near spring planting here in the U.S. Weather's really taken a back seat to all the geopolitical headlines here, Sean. And you think about what this spring could shape up with for the weather picture in the U.S. Plus, South America's weather story has been fairly non-existent. I mean, talk about weather here at play and how it has seemingly kind of taken a back seat to everything else going on in the world.
It has definitely taken a back seat, but we are now moving into prime critical nature, especially for winter wheat here in the United States. It's one thing to have some weather concerns here in March, but if you get into April and early May and you still have those dry weather concerns out west and in the southern plains, and you worry about flash frost risks, which I think we could be worried about in mid-late April to early May, that will override and become a front burner mover for winter wheat. And if winter wheat gets going and people get excited about what's going on there, it inevitably drags corn and soybeans up with it. So I really think we're moving away from where weather is going to take a backseat to where it could at least play a similar role to what we're dealing with geopolitics as we speak right now.
On the soybean side, too, there's been plenty of rumor this week about issues between Brazil and China when it comes to soybean shipments, and rumors about Cargill ADM stopping some certain shipments due to export inspection issues in China. Plus, you have the rumors on RVOs and biofuel policy and more. So it seems like all those types of things, those rumors, I guess, is where I'm going with this, Sean. Rumors have really kind of impacted this trade as well here as of late.
Yeah, whether we like it or not, artificial intelligence is making headline risk even more pronounced than it was before. And everyone is can trade thousands and thousands of contracts in nanoseconds with these high AI trading programs. And as such, sell or buy first, and we'll figure out if it's true later. And we're seeing a lot of that, a lot of volatility based upon these things. I don't believe that the Chinese are going to back away from purchasing Brazilian soybeans in large quantities. I do believe, however, heading into this big meeting between President Trump and Xi Jinping and China at the end of the month in early April, I do think they want to continue to show that they're making efforts to prioritize U.S. soybeans for now and create some issues for Brazilian supplies going into this meeting was as kind of an olive branch. And I think that's more why this is coming up now as we're going into these meetings. I don't think it's a long-term structural change in the market.
We should touch on the livestock trade as well. Cattle futures have been trading both sides of unchanged here Friday into the weekend. So, thinking about this volatility, seeing more of that on the protein side as well. What's your feeling in the cattle complex here heading into the weekend, Sean?
Historically, oil shocks, stock market declines, economic numbers that don't look so good, worries over consumer confidence, typically does not promote buying in the cattle market. So on the days that we're really worried about that, we see these big knockdowns. And then when everybody looks out there and says, where are the animals? We get excited again that there's not going to be enough supply, even if demand is on the weaker side. And so we keep going through this flip-flopping back and forth on the mood of the day. I still feel that until we open up the border with Mexico to bring in some of these feeders back in and start increasing that supply just a little bit. Until we do that, whenever we do that, it's going to be hard to sustain a move down unless we go into a major financial crisis like we did in 08, 09, or like we did with COVID in 2020. We're not there yet. Maybe we get there, but I think until we either get there or we open the border, we're probably going to be stuck in a choppy sideways trade.
Sean, great stuff as always. Any final thoughts you would share or reiterate with folks listening in here today on the market wrap-up?
Key factor in my mind is volatility is here to stay. Don't get cute about it. You have corn to sell. You have corn to buy, depending on what side you're on. We're going to get these big surges like we've been seeing, these big crashes like we've been seeing. Use volatility to your advantage and make sure that you get things done and business done when that volatility is working in your favor, and try to get away from predicting the next headline. That cannot be done.
We always remember that risk of trading futures and or options can be substantial. Sean, if folks want to talk with you there at Hackett Financial Advisors, what's the best way to do that?
Our website is Hackett, H-A-C-K-E-T-T, advisors.com. We also have an active Twitter page at Faradex11. Anyone can go there to keep tabs of what we're thinking about ag markets going forward.
Sean Hackett, Hackett Financial Advisors, as always, good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for joining us here today. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, Jesse. Always a blast.
And that's today's market wrap-up here on the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen reporting.